Well, welcome. It's good to have y'all this morning. So we're in what the liturgical calendar calls ordinary time, which is just like normal, kind of boring, everyday life, which is kind of nice because sometimes I think it feels like life needs to be something special all the time. So it's like we're just kind of coasting a little bit. And we're going to look at what it means to have a sense of place today. So I want to start us off with a question and just to consider, what does it mean to feel welcomed into a place? So I think I've got a question. So maybe think for a minute, when have I really felt welcomed by someone? And if you're comfortable, you can share. It could be a person that comes to mind when you think of someone who's like really glad to see you. Maybe it was coming in this morning and someone shook your hand. Maybe not. So just think for a minute and maybe share with someone next to you. When do you have a memory of feeling really welcome? Okay. Did anybody have anyone that's welcomed you? You'd want to shout out who they are? Or is it someone sitting next to you, maybe?
Anytime I talk to Errol.
Errol. I'm going to embarrass Errol for a minute. There you are. Yeah. Errol gave me a big hug today. If you want to feel welcome, just find Errol. Yeah. And he will make you feel welcome. Yeah. Anybody, was it like a family member, maybe a sibling or a parent, or maybe there's a friend. Whenever you see them, they're like, hey, it's you. It's good to see you. So I think feeling welcomed, like we really belong, is kind of a complex thing we try to talk about as a community from time to time. And one of the surprising things I find is that even though I want to be welcomed in, sometimes when it happens, I don't know what to do. Have you ever had that experience? Like there's something you've really been wanting for longing, and then it happens and you're like, oh my gosh. Perhaps you can relate to that, especially if it's someone you admire. Have you ever had that, like someone you really respect and you get to meet them and then you just don't know what to do? So in May, I got to do kind of a bucket list item. I know we overuse a little bit quotes from Richard Rohr at different times. I don't agree with everything he says and writes, but enough of it to where we use quotes a lot from him. His way of trying to follow Christ and invite people into that journey resonates. So in May, I got to be in a room with about 25 people with him, and I got to ask some questions and kind of interact, and he's not like super tall. So he's really cute. Sorry, I hope that's okay. Sorry. He really was like his feet barely kind of touched the floor. So someone like snapped a boomerang of his feet kind of barely sliding on the floor as he sat back, which is really sweet. And during one of the breaks, Jenna, my wife, went up to talk with him, and then I'd asked a few questions. She's like, yeah, I'm married to that guy over there. And then she kind of stood back and he looked at me and he broke into this really big smile. And he says, oh, he has such a sweet face. And then, like, I don't know if this happened. It felt like everybody in the room then looked at me when he said that. And then, like, I didn't know what to say. So my body responded, and all the blood in my body went to my face. And I got really red. And inside, I wanted to say, no, I don't. You know, like, I don't know. Like, so it was like this moment, you know, what do you do? Kind of, and even as I think back, what would I have done differently kind of thing. But maybe you can kind of relate a little bit to that feeling of finding complexity when it comes to belonging and when it comes to being accepted. And today we're actually going to see how Jesus's friends get flustered and confused in the presence of someone they admire. And Jesus helps them navigate their shifting sense of place in the world. I think like many of us, we'll see how they deal with their disillusionment, how they grasp for things, and how Jesus teaches them to receive their place in the world through welcoming others. Perhaps we can relate to that sense that it often feels like the ground of life is just moving a little too quickly under our feet. Do you ever feel that way? You just need things to slow down a little bit. My hope today is that we'll get a glimpse of how God is welcoming every part of us, especially those who feel like they don't belong, as we fumble through this journey of life together. So let's read aloud our scripture from the Gospel of Mark, as is our custom, and you can read with those sitting next to you if you would like. So Jesus and his students have been traveling, they've been healing and teaching, and now they're returning to his home territory. But he wants to kind of stay under the radar so he can focus on his main task as a rabbi. He's starting to realize that his students, they don't actually know what his core message is. And it's not that he hasn't been trying to tell them. He's already given it a couple of shots. And so this passage starts out, and we may actually find ourselves empathizing with Jesus' students as they're beginning to discover that the place we find ourselves is often disillusioning. It starts out, they went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. So it says he did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples. So he cleared out all the distractions. He cleared their whole calendar, because he was really wanting them to get it. And they were his disciples, so it was like his job to teach them. So just a little bit about that. Like, it would be an understatement to say that they were unlikely candidates for any rabbi to choose. So imagine an area in life you would never be chosen for. I have memories of waiting in line to play like touch football and being chosen last or something. But it would be actually like not just being chosen last, you never would have been picked for kickball or to tutor someone in math or something. And these were the disciples that Jesus chose. So to be chosen to be a student by a rabbi, it was like pick your dream vocation. It would be like being chosen by Malcolm Gladwell to be mentored in writing, or being chosen by Ruby Sales to be mentored in healing racial trauma. Just fill in the blank. Like, who's someone you really respect? Imagine them calling you or emailing you or texting you and saying, "Hey, I'd like to mentor you." And rabbis in this time, they kind of had this celebrity status. They were deeply respected. They had followings. Their social media was a little slower, but around their tweeting was around a campfire. Facebooking might have been when you were drawing, you know, water at the well. They chose to tell stories about some teachers, about some people and not others. And that's how you became known. So Jesus was very popular on social media in his time, but not because of his ability to pick good disciples. In fact, that was something he wasn't respected for at first. Jesus picked a bunch of people, disciples, to learn his unique teaching. He picked the unpickables, those that no rabbi would choose as students. And then he tries to explain the core of his teaching, which is life, death, and rising from death. It says he was saying to them, "The Son of Man," which can also be translated as the human one, "is to be betrayed into human hands. And they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." So imagine for a moment, you got the thing you've been waiting on your whole life. Like, if I get this, like fill in the blank, if I get married, if I get a dream job, if I get this certain experience, if I climb Mount Everest, if I accomplish this goal, I write a book, I travel, I have a kid or whatever, whatever it is, they had been waiting for this. And they said, if I get that, then I'll be fulfilled, I'll be happy, I'll be at peace, right? We all have some version of that, I think. So they got their dream job, like things are going really well. People are coming by hundreds, thousands. And then your teacher, your boss says, we need to have a little meeting. So I'm not sure if you've been hearing me try to tell you that my teaching about who God is so radical, I'm actually going to be killed for it. Like, I'm threatening religious power. I'm giving access to people who can benefit me in no way. They don't benefit the climbing system, the ladder. And these people, I'm calling out their humanness as beautiful and good and loved, and it will cost me everything. And so your job as my students is to witness this. This is what you signed up for. This is what I'm trying to teach you. But it goes on and it says they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. So I imagine they're still a little bit starstruck, like, I can't believe he picked me. I can't believe I'm here. And maybe they're just not even sure what to say. I found a clip a little while ago, which may be enjoyable. If not, feel free to ignore it. But it could be a little bit like this clip of when a celebrity meets another dream celebrity, and it's so jarring, they just don't know what to do. And if you don't like these celebrities, it's okay. Just focus on the reaction. I think that's what's helpful today. So let's take a look.
You know Johnny himself? Or
I've met him once.
You met him once. Yeah. Was that tonight? Or
No, I dodged that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why? Did something bad happen?
I can't talk.
Oh, yeah. You have a crush on him.
Okay. I can't do it. Him and Michael Keaton. I can't. Beetlejuice just gets me every time.
Wow. Johnny Depp and Michael Keaton?
Yeah, that's it.
Have you met Michael?
I dodged him as well in a restaurant.
What?
I got under my table and left.
You did? Wow. Yeah. What happened when you met Johnny Depp?
I didn't want to meet him. My husband made me meet him, which was so dumb. I was hiding behind records in a record store, and I was like, don't do this. I don't want to meet him. And he made me do it.
I think he did the right thing.
I don't think it went well.
Oh, it didn't?
No, I don't feel like I nailed it.
Why?
I went up to him, and I was like, hey, I saw Alice. I'm going to be writing a song. He's like, you saw Alice Cooper? I was like, no, I saw the movie Alice anyway, you were great. He's like, oh, I thought you were telling me you saw Alice Cooper. I was like, no, I didn't meet Alice Cooper. I'm going to do the movie. Anyway.
It ended
like,
with you yelling
then he goes,
at him.
You just keep on pushing on. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. Like, thanks, honey. That was great.
That's really good advice. You have kept on pushing on, though.
I'm going to keep on pushing on. Yeah.
And then what
There's
happens?
There's a lot of people
they,
involved.
And by committee, they decide of, yeah. what's going
to
be in
For
the
my
movie.
Record, it's I have to like it.
Do you get paid anyway if there is a...
No.
You don't. Yeah. Johnny, go see if Michael Keaton is in
there. How red her neck is. That's how my face was.
Nothing. We're both now flustered.
Yeah. Yeah, you're flustered.
We are. I think Pink would really, really like a little bit of a kiss.
I'm good.
I mean, her husband.
No.
Carrying.
Oh, her husband's
what? Yeah, that's probably good.
Carrying.
Yeah.
She goes on to just say, this is the worst day of her life. So perhaps you can relate to things being different from what you thought they would be, how you imagine them. I do like how red her neck is. That's how red I imagine my face was when Richard made that comment toward me. So a lot of things are not what we expected. And I want to invite us this morning to actually maybe name something in our life that's not how we thought it would be. It could be school, relationship, friendship. It could be a job. It could be marriage, health, parenting, living situation. Just think for a minute about something. Maybe it's something you've been waiting for, you thought would have happened by now, and it just hasn't. Maybe it's something you really wanted that happened, and it's so different from what you thought. you were signing up for. You just don't even know what to do. And take a minute to consider how that feels, just to acknowledge the difference. And I want to just bring that into prayer this morning. So just where we're sitting, you're welcome to close your eyes or keep them open and just take a couple deep breaths for a minute. Consider what has been hard to accept. What has messed with your expectations? And how are you feeling about it today? I want to say that there's room for that today. So I invite you just to pray this silently as I pray this out loud. God, I'm feeling disillusioned, hopeless, despair, exhausted, sad, angry, crushed by blank happening or not happening. Please give me some support and presence this week as I process. Take another couple deep breaths. Remind me of your acceptance, even now. Amen. Sometimes when we can't acknowledge disillusionment openly or don't know how to process and grieve, I think we often do what Jesus' students did. We begin to grasp for things when we lose our place. It goes on to say that then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. And Jesus asked them, when he asked them that, he actually knew the answer. And we'll see that from his response in a minute. But I think it's instructive sometimes when he asks them to say out loud what he already knows, if that makes sense. It says, but they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. So maybe they're embarrassed, or maybe in thinking about saying it out loud, it becomes clear that this is not the behavior of a student of a famous rabbi. Like perhaps they are aware that they are not good student material once again. And then the writer of Mark's gospel, he saw meaning in Jesus sharing the news that he was leaving. And then the very next thing recorded is this conversation about who is the greatest, who will take their teacher's place, who's the best student. Now we'll return to that, but let's just note that this is how the disciples are coping with this news that they're going to lose their teacher. But they're also feeling the threat of losing their identity and their place as students. Does that make sense? This was a pretty complex moment. They start grasping for a picture of what's next. How can they keep things going? And I think we all do strange things to keep our sense of place and be accepted sometimes. This week, I'm a part of a group of spiritual directors that meet once a month for supervision, and we share anonymously just our own journey as a spiritual director. And I'm the youngest one in the group, so I always feel a little bit like, you know, am I going to be accepted? So one of the things I noticed, though, during the group was an annoying thing I do when I'm not sure if I'm accepted, which was kind of embarrassing. But I started to notice, like, every time someone commented, I, like, gave my 2 cents after. Not every time, but a lot of the time. And a lot of things don't need commenting on. You know that? But I kind of watched myself do this several times, and I realized it was just coming out of some anxiety. And then it felt like in that moment things slowed down, and I was like, oh, no, I'm like a chimer inner. Like, you know what I mean? When you start to realize something about yourself that's embarrassing, you don't like, I just keep chiming in. I don't want to be that person. And I've done so much work around that. So I was like, why is this showing up in this other area in my life? So I'm kind of working on it. But the realization sometimes of something embarrassing, you know how it kind of knocks you down a couple pegs? So I feel like it took me a couple days to kind of get back up. But I want to also take a minute to consider, what do we do when we feel nervous or we're not sure that we're accepted? What do we do when we lose that sense of place? Do we, maybe you don't say more, maybe you go silent and pull back. Maybe you take up more space. Maybe you we compare ourselves like Jesus' students, which he doesn't reject them for, by the way. He just says, oh, you're talking about who's the greatest. We'll get to that, how he responds. Maybe we sacrifice more or try to be more helpful. Maybe we name drop or try to be funny or ask questions or share stories, try to give insight. Maybe we chime in. Maybe we talk about the weather, like move it to more superficial. It's natural, though, for us to reach for things when we aren't sure if we belong, unsure if we will be accepted. But these things rarely help us really relax and feel like we have a place. So I want to just pause for a minute and think about, what do you find yourself doing when you feel nervous in a group or in a conversation? And I want to kind of invite us to bring that into prayer this morning as well. So see if something comes to mind. It may be related to what you mentioned before, dealing with expectations. How do we respond when we're stressed? And I want to offer this as a prayer for us this morning as well. God of acceptance, thank you for choosing me and refusing to reject me even when I rejected you. And help me this week to believe you are accepting the parts of myself and others I find annoying and am embarrassed about. Show me how to accept, fill in the blank. That would be my chiming in this week. With your compassion and gentle smile. Amen. Because that which we welcome and which is welcomed and loved is transformed. It's only what we push away into darkness that grows and becomes a problem. And this is where we see Jesus' wisdom as a rabbi really shine. Here he offers one of the central parts of his teaching. When we receive our belonging, or we receive our belonging with God as we welcome the vulnerable. It says, he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be the first must be the last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. He sat down, called the 12, and he says, if you want to be first, you have to be last and servant of all. So I don't know what criterion they were using to measure who was the greatest, but I can guarantee this was not the criterion they were using when they were walking that day. And I don't know if you've ever been in a group where this passage gets taken very literally. Like when I was in college and we were reading it, you ever go through like double doors and it'd be like, oh, you grab the door first and then you're last. But then the next person grabs the door and then you're first. You know, anyway, I don't know if that's funny to you, but we thought that was so clever. That's not really what Jesus was talking about. So to explain what he really meant, he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them. So children at this time were objects. They weren't treated the way we treat children in our community. They didn't have legal status. They didn't have rights as a person. You can even sense this in the language they use for it to refer to a child. Yet over and over, Jesus gives full personhood status to those who don't have it. And he elevates the objectified and gives them unique dignity in God's eyes. And he does this over and over and over again, as if to say, this is who God really is, this loving God. And if you start to live this way, it will slowly begin to change everything. To choose the unchoosable, to risk your power and position and what people think of you for the sake of love and dignity, this is what students of mine will do. So consider someone you have trouble seeing as a full person. Maybe it's someone we make assumptions about because of their insensitive actions or comments. And consider that they too, even they are beloved of God. Consider the story and trauma we don't know that might be driving them. Perhaps they're adults living out of a wounded child self. This is the bigness of God, the unchoosable. Those who don't deserve welcome are being welcomed, even you and I. Because Jesus says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. As we welcome the unwelcomable, we experience God has always been welcoming each of us. Perhaps Jesus understood better than any, we cannot experience our vulnerability as accepted by God when we actively reject the vulnerability of others. We cannot experience our vulnerability as acceptable by God when we actively reject the vulnerability of others. I'm annoyed with Chimer Inners because I'm a Chimer Inner. And it's not always that direct, okay? It's not always like what bothers us also resides in us. But in this case, it is embarrassingly so. And the good news is that God unflinchingly says, it's okay, Jason. I know you're just afraid of being rejected sometimes. And I understand why, and it's okay. Like, God understands why we flail, why we grasp, why we reach. And he says, it's okay, I got you. And as we welcome those who are vulnerable, we experience how God is welcoming. And I experience how God is welcoming me, my nervous about belonging, Chimer Inner part. That's what I'm calling it. So I want to offer one last prayer practice this week around welcome. And this is one based on a prayer we've used before. But this way of using it was developed by Mary Mrazowski. And so I want to guide us through it. It has three movements. We'll kind of feel and sink into what we're experiencing this morning in our body. So just take a minute, maybe take a breath and notice what's happening in your body today. Where do you feel anxiety, tension, maybe pain or discomfort? And begin to welcome what you are experiencing in this moment. Our bodies tell the truth about where we're at. This is an opportunity to consent to God's indwelling presence. And as we say this prayer, we are invited to let go, to make a space and see how God is working on our behalf, that it's not all up to us to make everything happen. So as you're ready, I'll invite you just to slowly say the prayer aloud with me. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen. That's our invitation as a community to begin to see our journey is not something we have to do by ourselves. That God is actually at work in these things. That not everything's on us. And I also know, though, that we need to experience welcome from others as we learn to welcome what's vulnerable in us. So I have one story to close with today. We have a son who went to college about 4 weeks ago. And his second day at college, he texted and realized, and sorry about this story, I know it's going to bring up stuff for people. He realized he had bed bugs. So sorry if you've, I know, I'm sorry. I won't go into detail, that was it. But you can imagine you're already there if you've had any brush with that. So, you know, his communication's been kind of sporadic. And after about 2 weeks of them not figuring it out, I was getting kind of distressed about it. And he wasn't really communicating a lot, so I was imagining he wasn't sleeping, which may or may not have been the case. So finally, I kind of had a day where I had a moment. I got a little bit worked up, and I said, man, I feel like I know he's learning to advocate for himself, but this feels like a bit much. You know what I mean? It's like I think I can pull the dad card. So I call the housing department, and I'm trying to kind of be like, don't be the jerk. You know, don't be the angry white dude. You know, just like be cool, be calm and positive. You know, I'm trying, just like barely holding it together. And I get this young college student probably doing work study on the phone. She's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, well, you know, I'm having a little bit of a problem. She's like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, well, my son has bed bugs. She's like, oh, my gosh, really? I'm like, yeah, you know, and she's like, 2 weeks? What? She's like, I had bed bugs one time, and it's the worst. It's the worst thing ever. I'm like, yeah, I know. And so I'm like, so, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what we can do. She's like, oh, gosh, she said, you're being so patient. Thank you. And I was like, thank you. And she's like, yeah, we've got to fix this right now. That's what she said to me. And I was like, yes, we do. So she said, okay, hold on for just a minute, and I'm going to get some help. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. Like, best phone experience I've had. And then it was a couple minutes, but, you know, it was like I was already feeling better. And she's like, she came back on. She's like, okay, I have these two numbers, and it's almost 5 o'clock. So if you call right now, I bet you can still catch them, and they will get right on this. And it kind of turned out I already had those numbers. But she was like, I am so sorry you're having to deal with this. This is not okay, and I really appreciate your patience. And I just said, you know, I really appreciate your empathy. And in my heart, I said, thank you, young college student, whose spirit hasn't been crushed by angry people complaining, right? I said, thank you for welcoming my distress as a powerless parent struggling to let go. I said this in my heart, not out loud. A parent struggling with anger that wants to go up and bring him a mattress and take the old one, and I wanted to burn it in front of the dorm. Just for a moment. This is a fantasy. This didn't happen. I didn't like, you know, but it in my mind. She welcomed my vulnerability in a way I couldn't. I didn't know how. And this, to me, this is the mercy of God, who chooses us even when we feel unchoosable and gives us a place when we're sure there's no place for what we're going through. So please pray with me as we close. God, may we bring our broken pictures of what we thought our life was going to be. And may we bring our grasping, our flailing, when we don't know what to do, and experience your acceptance of every bit of us. And this week, may we bring our welcome of others. May we bring all of this into the abiding grace of Jesus, who will never leave nor forsake us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.